Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wednesday edition. The man, I'm in a good mood today. Jesse, you're not going to be able to bring me down with your negativity. Your gosh darn negativity.
I got no negativity today. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's a Wedding Crashers reference.
Oh, yeah.
When Owen Wilson has that big plan of posing as waiters to go to the ball or whatever that is. Edition. I'm in a good mood because there's no practice today. Still a jam-packed schedule, but it'll be nice not to be at practice for a day. We do have all three coordinators talking, though. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to depart the show for a little bit, leave it in the capable hands of Jesse, our cousin sub of the day, and Homer. So what could possibly go wrong? Edition. The man, we've got a deep bench. How lucky are we, Jesse? We got this big-time, great storyteller, stream of consciousness, star of the show. But when he's not here, which is somewhat frequently, we've got such great cousin subs. And this one is doing a second tour of duty during the Tausch Summer Sabbatical edition. And we got to talk Matthew Golden. We got to talk about running laps. An interesting day yesterday at Packers training camp edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable. So you can put Wilde and Tausch, just drag them right there. Right in the first spot on the ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from he is the epitome of Florida man. And we are so lucky to have him. I don't think he's at the farm today. I think he's in his normal spot. He is the future Packers Hall of Famer. How soon can we get that done, you think? Another year or two still? You haven't been retired that long.
It's a good question. Out of my hands. It's out of my hands.
I'm not on the committee. I'm not on the committee, but I'm on the case. I'll look into it for you. Yeah. It is the great Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch. Blue, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm good. There's no practice today. I know what you guys kind of feel like as players when you get to that. Now, they had Saturday off after three of the non-padded practices. Then I screwed it up because I was wrong. I thought, okay, three non-padded practices, day off, pads. Uh-uh. Then a fourth no-pads practice on Sunday. Monday was the first padded practice, and then we had another one yesterday. But when you guys, when you would get to the first real true day off after pads, You were looking forward to that day. Was that a good day?
That was a great day. It was a fantastic day because, you know, normally what would happen was, you know, there was a nice little establishment right by St. Norbert's dorms. It was called the Abbey. You know, just a nice little... Nice
named
little
after local... your wife, from what I understand.
Yeah, named after my wife. Just a nice little local establishment that we knew after the first few padded days. We knew we had the day off. You know, the guys, we'd meet up there and, you know, maybe have a few soda pops. You know, just soda, only soda.
Shirley Temple.
Yeah, and just would unwind a little bit and hang out because we knew we had the next day off. So we had to probably go in and do something, right? The day off is so, you know, quotation marks day off.
Right.
Probably had to go do something. But there were no practices. So we always try to make the most out of that evening before, you know, the day off. But those are the times at camp that you kind of miss, right? The night off of, or the night before the day off and things like that. You don't miss the practice. You miss those times with the guys. But I certainly remember the first days of pads. I remember those intense, those intense times, and kind of sounds like that's the way camp's been going. Sounds like that's the way things have been ramping up here at old Ray Nitschke Field as of late.
All right. So I want to get into Take a Lap. But first, I want to get into the physicality. And because I'll say this, and you we've talked about this before. My social media usage has been way down for a while. It's just not my cup of tea anymore. And so I have not really been doing a whole lot of engaging, but I do see like how people debate things and respond to certain stories that I post. And I think it's been interesting, Brian, to see the reaction to the Nate Hobbs stuff from the last couple days. Not even the Rashid Walker thing yesterday, which we're going to get into coming up, so be sure to stick around for that. But, you know, Nate Hobbs in the non-padded practices, I mean, he went through Dontayvion Wicks on a play. And again, I understand there's fans are like, hey, this is what we need. We need a guy who's physical and attacking and aggressive. And you know what? Packers fans, the general manager agrees. Like yesterday he said, hey, we're trying to be a specific type of football team here, and that requires physicality. The issue is that that's great if you do that to Amon-Ra St. Brown on the afternoon of September 7th inside Lambeau Field. If you do it in a non-padded practice to Dontayvion Wicks, not as good. And then with the Marshawn Lloyd story, which, you know, both Matt LaFleur and Goody said yesterday that watching the injury, and it's apparently a groin injury, watching the injury, he puts his foot in the ground to cut. It looks like he feels something. He doesn't put that foot down again. And then he gets walloped by Nate Hobbs. So in their opinion, which is not 100% accurate, they can't know this for sure, but the injury to Marshawn Lloyd, who has some of the worst luck in the history of pro football, was not caused by Nate Hobbs. Nevertheless, what Nate Hobbs did was still not what you're supposed to be doing in pads. You're not supposed to go low and you're not supposed to tackle. So, Blue, from your perspective, because it's interesting the way Matt LaFleur has taken some criticism from some precincts of fans that, hey, what are you trying to get him to be less aggressive for? So you being a former player, explain it to them so they understand the fine line we're talking about.
Yeah, like, so I see a couple different sides of this, right? Like, and I'm on the player side of it, and I'm obviously on, like, your side of it, and I'm on LaFleur's side. Like, I see every single angle of this because I've been on the side of the player side of it, of trying to set a tone and be physical. But I'm also on the other player side of it, right, where I am the offensive side of the ball and our receivers are exposed and our running backs are exposed and the defensive guys can take shots, right? They can do that and they can freely do that. And our guys are put in practice in obviously compromised positions at times, right? Those things happen and you expect you expect our own guys to, you know, act accordingly, right? Like, you just expect them to not do those things. And I get things happen in the heat of the moment and things are bang, bang. And you know, and that's why I said on Monday when I was with Strophy, when he was subbing in for Homer, that, like, I want to give Hobbs, like, obviously the benefit of the doubt on things, right? Like, I don't want to, like, sit here and label him a, you know, a bad teammate. Like, that's
right.
That's not where I'm. But for the people that want to, like, jump on LaFleur and say, why are you trying to make him this way or that way? He's trying to protect the guys on the team. Like, that's what, like, you don't go into training camp looking to get your own guys banged up. Like, that's not the point of training camp, is to see if you can, you know, get guys hurt in training camp and see if your receivers can take punishment or see if your running backs can figure out ways to evade low hits in camp. Like, mm-hmm. That's not what you're there for, right? Like, those aren't – that's not part of the thing. And at this point in camp, as obviously you've been through a lot of these, running backs and receivers aren't really prepping for those things yet, right? Like, this is – like, putting right. pads on and the first few days of shells or helmet, whatever you call them now, that's not really a thing on their mind, right? They're looking for, like, up high thud or helmet-to-helmet contact. Like, those are things that they're prepared for. They're not ready for, like, low hits. Like, that's certainly not what they're looking for. And it's just a matter of trying to, like, look out for the guys on the team. That's what LaFleur is doing. Like, he wants to obviously have a physical football team. Like, that's mm-hmm. obviously a key thing. You have to walk that line of having a physical team. But you can't let it cross a line where you're putting your own guys in compromised positions and guys are taking shots, right? Like, because if you let it continue on, right, like if you let that continue to go on in camp, it's going to happen to someone and it's going to get to a point where it could cause, I don't want to say catastrophic injury, right, like to a big-time player, but it could knock a guy out for multiple weeks as we get closer to Detroit, right, and then someone's missing the Detroit game over something that's completely avoidable, which – you're trying to avoid at all costs, right? Like, as you get closer, you want guys to be as fresh and healthy as possible. Now, I get it's camp. You can't, you know, prevent that 100%. This is football. It's physical. It's all that. But guys just have to, like, you know, control themselves at times, right? Like, and that's really what it is. And it's an easy way to, you know, try to prevent fights, because that's the easiest way that fights break out. Like, if you take a shot on a receiver, if you take a shot on a running back, if you take a shot on a tight end, linemen are going to go fight immediately. Because if you don't, we're hearing about it in our own line room. Like, I'm just saying that right now. If you see it on tape,
right,
one of our guys, like, gets a shot taken on him and we don't go react, we're getting chewed out in the meeting room, and there could be something way less that happens the next day. And we're going to have to go react the next day. And then it's going to blow up out of proportion. So, like, there's just no need for it to escalate over time. And LaFleur's trying to get to that point where there can be good, clean practices that are very competitive, that are physical, but they don't get interrupted by things like this. And that's really where he's trying to go with this. Like, being tough and being a hard-nosed team and being, like, just doing out of character things are two different things, right? Like fighting and like taking certain types of shots on guys doesn't really show toughness. Like, I know, like, people may think that may show those things, but it doesn't. Like, some of the most physical teams that I were on, like, there were no camp fights. Guys knew how to practice. Guys knew the tempo of practices. Like, one of the most professional guys that I ever went against was Julius Peppers. I can honestly mm-hmm. say in my times going against Julius, I never got in a camp scuffle with Julius Peppers at all. Never. I mean, never did I want to, for the love of God, but just in general, right? Like, he knew how to practice, right? Like, he was never going to do something that was way out of line. I was never going to do that to a guy like that. You just understood, you go hard in practice. And when, like, it's time to, like, draw that line, you stop and you go back to your huddle and you repeat. Like, you just have to know when. And Julius was never going to take a cheap shot or do something crazy on a back or a receiver or a tight end. There's just a certain way you practice. And LaFleur's just trying to set that standard early, right? This is the time to do it. You set it early because there's a lot of practice left, not just in camp, but in the season, right? Like, this is just the first week of camp, not even the regular season. So I just look at this as, let's get guys to practice the right way. I'm not saying anything about Hobbs. I love that he's physical, right? Like, that sets a tone in the back end for opposing teams that those guys have to look out for, right? Like, between him and McKinney, those guys like to come up and hit. Like, I love that. You want to have those guys back there that make receivers and tight ends think twice about going over the middle and things like that. That's all great stuff. Like, and I really like that. Like, I like that about Hobbs. Like, I can appreciate that. It's just, you don't need to do it on your own guys, right? Like, you just don't need to do it on your own guys. And the running back position in particular, with Lloyd being hurt, like, you like, and I saw the quotes, whether he did it before the hit, whether it happened after the hit, it doesn't matter to me. Like, it's irrelevant in my point of view. We need healthy backs. Jacobs is eventually going to need, like, a game where he doesn't touch the ball 30 times or 28 times. Like, we're going to need a back that can come in and take 8 to 10 carries off of him from time to time. Like, that just has to happen. And we need quality depth there. And we want Lloyd to be healthy. Like, I think he could be a talented guy in this league, but, like, his injury luck is just, like, it's unfortunate. So, like, to see guys get hurt this early in camp, it's just, it's a bummer. And regardless if it was the hit or not, I don't care. We just don't need to put guys in that position. And that's really all I'm trying to get at. And that's, it has nothing to do, like, it could be Hobbs, it could be whoever, it doesn't matter. I just don't like to see those types of things at this point right now against our own guys.
So Jesse's got what Goody said yesterday, and I want you to hear this because, again, it's not that I don't understand the fans' perspective, because the general manager agrees with you. Like, I've been a little surprised by, because this is, and maybe I shouldn't be, but there's nuance to this. And I live in a world of nuance in a world that is not particularly nuanced these days, right? You're either right or you're wrong. You're either brilliant or you're a blanket idiot, right? So, and so I, like you, I see both sides, but I couldn't agree more with the idea that if these guys are going to get to where they want to go, they got to be more, for lack of a better term, badass. Because you know what the Detroit Lions are? You know what the San Francisco 49ers are? They're badasses. The Baltimore Ravens, right? Like, there is a brand for those teams. That is not the Packers brand. And so here's what Goody said yesterday when he was asked, because and I wasn't in there because I was doing the show with Joe Thomas, but the way it was transcribed was that Ted wouldn't have liked seeing Hobbs light up Wicks and Lloyd, because you know Ted, he wanted guys to be in bubble wrap all summer so they can get to the season. Goody, a little bit different. Here's what he said.
Good. I think, you know, the intensity was really good. I think it was hot, as you guys know, it was hot out there, and I think sometimes that can drain you, so we'll see how they come back today. Whenever you get into pads, particularly in today's world of football where you just, it's so different because you have so many more limited opportunities to be in pads, there's always a sloppiness to it to a certain degree, like you're just kind of trying to get, you know, through it. But I thought yesterday was a little bit better than most first days, you know. So I think we need that, we need more of that, and it'll be good for us to get out there today and over the next couple weeks to be in pads as much as we can, because if we're going to be the kind of football team I think we can be, we need that.
So it was something else that he said, and I'm going to read that to you so you hear this, Brian, because this is what I thought was really interesting. You're trying to balance a lot of things as you're going through camp. We're trying to become a certain kind of football team that can win and win deep into the playoffs. There's a certain kind of physicality that you have to have, and Nate Hobbs brings all that. That's why we brought him here. It's very important that all our guys have the kind of edge to them. We want to keep guys off the ground, and you want to make good decisions while you're going through camp and keep guys healthy. But at the same time, it's hard. We're asking these guys to fly around, be physical, and make plays. To back off sometimes is not easy. But we want them to all be good teammates and keep each other healthy. But at the same time, that's like seven butts in here. But at the same time, I'd rather be pulling the reins and making sure we've got enough guys in that room that have that kind of edge. That's the balance. I think he put that perfectly, Brian, because you are trying to serve two different ends here. One is keep guys healthy, and the other one is be the badasses that you want them to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and what that comes down to is like that the general manager, the head coach, I mean, they can talk to these guys all they want. They can say what they want. It's the policing of the players that have to do that within each other, right? Like that doesn't get done. Like Goody can say that, and like, you know, and he wants that line walked tightly. And I know Matt, obviously he's come out and said he's had the conversation. Hobbs has said he's had the conversation. He obviously got after guys, which I'm sure we're going to get into after the practice the other day. Mm-hmm. Like they could all do that, and that's fine. But that's a thing that gets policed within the locker room, right? And gets done within the guys on the practice field. Like that's the only way that takes care of itself is with guys on the field understanding how to practice. That's the only way it gets done. Because if guys don't understand how to practice and they don't understand boundaries and things like that, then you're going to get guys on the ground and you're going to get those things. And then it becomes blurry of what is trying to be physical and then what's sloppy and what's like, and that's not good. Like, that's not what you want. Like the guys have to police that. Like, and that's really what it comes down to. And again, I'm not like sitting here banging the drum for any type of veteran team. But when you have guys that have been doing it for a while, that have been through a lot of training camps, that have been on certain types of teams, that have all types of levels of experience, and you've got guys in certain positions that have certain levels of experience, they understand how it's supposed to look and the tempo of things and what's crossing the line and what's not crossing the line and things like that. And that's kind of, you know, where I think Goody and Matt are trying to put onus on players, right, to try to find those guys that police the things out there and make this thing look the way they want it to. But at the same time, it still is a relatively young team at the end of the day, right? Like, yes, they've played a lot of football, you could say, so to speak, but from a experience standpoint of camps and things like that and playoffs and where you want the team to be, like they are a relatively young squad. So like you got to have guys in certain areas around the team that have to be able to like pull guys inside and be like, hey, I love that you want to fly around and be physical, but like you can't do this. Or like you would pull guys aside and you know, say, listen, you can try to finish a guy in camp but there's absolutely no need to try to drive him an extra 5 yards once the whistle is blown. Cause that's just going to, what's that going to do? That's going to blow up into a fight. And right. And you're only going to get so much support from guys. If you continue to do it, guys are only going to have your back for so long after we've asked you not to do that so many times. And like, it's just a matter of guys trying to set the tone for the rest of the team. And it starts with the older guys, right? The veteran guys of the team, to set examples for the rest of the team to kind of follow, right? And I mean, it's early, right? It's the first few days and things kind of need to settle themselves out. And like I've always said, the first few days of camp, it's always a little uncharacteristic. It always is. Like things always get a little testy, a little out of hand in the first few days, and guys do things that they normally wouldn't do in a practice. And you have to prepare for that. You just have to hope that things kind of level themselves out as camp goes on. And that's really all you can hope for. And as that happens, you just hope no injuries that come from that type of, you know, overly aggressive type nature happen. Like, and you may think it sounds soft. It's not like, I'm not saying you go out there and two hand touch people. Like, I'm talking about like what we just talked about, not going low on players, not taking shots on receivers that are exposed or tight ends that are exposed that aren't looking and things like that. Like, there's ways to go about being physical without, you know, ripping the ribs out of receivers and doing things like that during a camp practice. Like, there's just ways to do it. And protecting your guys, but still showing that edge that you need to build going into a season. And they just have to find that, right? Like, they just have to find that way to practice as camp moves on. And that's really the best way I can put it. And it's easier said than done, right? It's easier said than done. I had to learn how to do it. I learned it. Obviously, I had great guys to learn from. You learn from guys that you watch practice and how they do things and what causes reactions, right? Like, what is not okay and what is okay. And you see how things go. And it's not just from an offensive side of the ball. Like, you see the way defensive guys react when something's not okay when offensive guys do it. So you understand the give and take during camp to make sure practice, you know, flows the way it should. Everyone's getting their work in. And it's what the coaches, you know, need and want out of the team at the end of the day. And guys are getting their work too. So it's a delicate line to balance and kind of tiptoe around, but you got to figure it out, man. Like, that's part of this gig. You just can't go in there and just start ripping each other's heads off. Like, that's not, you can't do it. It's not the way it goes. Like, join practice, go at it, have fun. You know, you got another team, go at it, enjoy yourself, right? Like, make the coaches back, make them physically, like, get in there with the two coaches and you know, set us like, hey, we're not doing this. We're not doing, like, make them do that. For your own guys, there should already be a certain standard of what's what, right? Like, there shouldn't have to be that conversation almost after every practice. Like, it's just not. It shouldn't be that way.
All right, we need to hear from Tausch on Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and then I want to get into what happened in one of these physicality-type moments and after the play situation between J.J. Enagbare and Rashid Walker, which was interesting on multiple levels, and I want to get Brian's thoughts on that coming up. We will do that after we hear from Tausch about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and door options from 7 different Pella lines, all side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you can get 0 interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All right, we'll get to Rashid Walker having to take a lap, but not by himself, which is, you know, me being a soft and loving connectivity and team chemistry and thinking that's really important. Thought it was a really neat moment. We'll get to that coming up, but let's get to a quick text message on the Carbless Talkin' text line. This is more. Jesse, what do you got?
This is from Grant in Madison. Is this, the physicality, becoming an issue at practice because of the lack of veteran leadership with all the young guys?
So that's an interesting question, Brian. I'm going to let you take it because you're the one who's played in the league. I did hear something yesterday that I did think was a little bit too far off for being careful. And that was Tucker Kraft told us that he's not allowed to stiff arm guys in practice. I don't remember that being the case previously. Now, again, I don't know if I don't have any reason to think Tucker's not telling the truth. But stiff arm feels like something that you kind of have to use sometimes. So I was a little surprised when he said that. But is this if you've got, you know, Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari and Aaron Rodgers and Julius Peppers, is this more self-policed, to the phrase you used earlier, than maybe it has been? I think Grant brings up an interesting question.
Yeah, I mean, like he does. I mean, he makes the point a little bit within the question, because I think that helps when it gets into these certain situations in camp. Like you, when there is a somewhat of a scuffle or something does happen, right? And that does happen. Normally what happens after that is veteran guys from both sides normally end up stepping in and having a conversation with the guys in his own unit, right? Offense or defense, and kind of being like, all right, like that's, like, we can't, like, that's the end of that. Like, we actually need to get to work here. So, like, that's not, we can't be doing that. And they kind of set lines and boundaries, and the practice goes on, right? Like, and it's not that anyone's advocating for not being physical. Like, I continue to say there's a difference between physical and, like, a difference between, like, kind of being out of control and doing things that are uncharacteristic, right? There's a difference between those of like what's tough and what's this and that. Like, you can be what you want as a football team and be hard-nosed and tough and build those traits by not doing things that put guys in compromised positions. And like, that's really what we're getting at. And when guys know how to practice and guys understand when in certain situations, what's needed, right? Like, and what the tempo should be, and when guys should, you know, not, like, essentially when guys should not be trying to rip dudes' ribs out, essentially, or going like there's times and places for that. And it's not, you know, with your own teammates, like it just isn't. And like, it's a perfect example of like, if you were to do that, like say on offense, if a tight end was coming in to try to crack block one of our defensive ends, like if it was Clay or even Julius and that, like we would never do that. Like that play would never be called in a practice, because you don't want to put one of our DNs in that position where he gets hit potentially blindside in the side of the head. Like, it's just putting guys in certain positions. Or like, say we do a pulling play and a tackle gets out on the edge and the running back cuts back, and there's one of our, say it was Jair, or say it was, or it could be even now, like say it was McKinney, and McKinney was cutting back and he didn't see Zach Tom, you know, coming one way, and his head was turned and Zach Tom was about to ear hole him, and Zach Tom should not take that shot. Like, you do not take that shot on
and
your
no guy. One's,
like,
and in fairness, no one has done that. Right. It hasn't gotten to that point. And so that's a good thing. But
but I'm just saying, like, those are the things that, like, you just don't do. But like, if you allow things to continue to ramp up, and escalate, and that's what LaFleur is trying to, like, put out right now. Like, he's trying to put those fires out right now. And that's what I'm getting at, is like, that's the difference of him. He's not being soft, or he's not trying to make guys less tough. He's trying to make sure those things don't happen later on in camp. That's all that is. And again, once you get into these joint sessions and you get into preseason, go at it, man. Have fun. Like, you're going against another opponent. You're trying to be as physical and nasty and tough as humanly possible. Go at it. Enjoy yourself, right? Like, be who you want to be. But it's not against your guys. You got to protect your guys. And that's literally what this is, right? Like, it's all we're saying. And I guess if people that listen or have an issue with LaFleur is doing, or like really don't like what I would be saying, or either what people that have played that may be echoing the same thing, like, you would have a problem with it if one of your one of your best players goes down for a long time because something stupid like that happened. Then you would be saying, like, why isn't LaFleur policing that? Why isn't he, like, that should have been taken care of and after that happened. Like, that's all we're saying. Like, and you just don't want to see something like that happen in camp when it could have been avoided early on. And that's all LaFleur's trying to do.
All right, I want to get to – this has been great, Brian, because it means a lot more coming from you than it means coming from me. And look, I'm soft. I'm from the Ted Thompson school. Ted Thompson was a badass football player, by the way. Played linebacker in the NFL in the 70s. So and I found myself wondering many a time whether playing in that era factored into the health challenges he faced later in life. But he did not want his players to be subjected to what he was. So his mentality for the preseason and practice was different. But so I want all these guys to stay healthy and be ready for September 7th. But they've got – I think Goody's right. I think Philadelphia was another team that exposed their need to be more physical. So I think it's a really fine line, and I think you did a phenomenal job of explaining it. Now, I want to get to something a little softer that I really liked, and that is the connectivity of this team and something that happened yesterday because of a physical situation. We will get to that and get Brian's thoughts on that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Chicago Cubs.
Breaking ball, hit high, hit deep, left center, bye-bye baseball!
Today on 100.5 ESPN.
You have got to be kidding me! Ready to roll, ready or not, ready to give it all I got. Gotta live to win, get up, ready to roll, ready to
All right, so toward the end of practice yesterday, 11 on 11 period. Rashid Walker is blocking J.J. Anagbare. And it goes a little past the whistle, and they get into it a little bit. And then Anagbare starts to disengage, and Sheed put him in the ground. I mean, it was more physical than it should have been. And LaFleur was more pissed about that than he was about the Hobbs thing because it was after the play, right? That's when coaches really get irritated. And so he delivers an expletive or two and tells him he's got to run a lap. Now,
I heard there were more than two expletives from the old ball coach yesterday.
Yeah, then there were some more in the huddle afterward when he got after them further about taking care of each other. But something, I don't want to call it magical, that's an overstatement, but pretty damn cool happened after that. And Rashid Walker, and this was great because we talked to him yesterday, he pretended that he did not remember what exactly he did to get himself kicked out of practice, which I thought was humorous. But as Matt LaFleur is getting after him and he says, take a lap, Rashid's like, what? Because that is not what NFL coaches generally do, right? I mean, that is abnormal. Fair?
Normally, no. That's not normally the thing that that happens. Normally, not a lap.
Have you ever seen it in 30 years?
I have. Mike Sherman used to do it all the time. Tausch will tell you when he gets back from his summer sabbatical that if you – I think he even did it for, like, penalties. Like, if you got, like, a false start, you had to run to the fence and back while someone else took your spot in the line.
Yeah, you know, when we would have a stint during camp when the O-line was jumping off sides a lot, Campy would make us, like, do, like, a sprint to the opposite end of the field and back. But it wasn't, like, a lap around the field. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, like, a full-blown lap around. Like, he would make us, he'd, like, go down, like down and back.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like a lap of shame, so to speak.
A lap of shame. That's such a great line. So here's the thing. So here's what happens. So Sheed is like confused for a moment. Like he doesn't start running right away. And Josh Jacobs grabs him And he's like, let's go. And Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft and Jordan Morgan and Elton Jenkins and Zach Tom and Sean Ryan, all guys that were on the field at the time of this thing, go and run with him. Now, you have to understand something from my perspective. Maybe other people didn't feel this way, but my favorite show is Ted Lasso, which will not come as a surprise to people. Like, I am wired like this guy right here. This is me, okay? Mm-hmm. I obviously do not coach at the NFL level, but all the coaching I do, I think it's so important, connectivity and caring about each other. I do believe that matters. Not as much as other things may matter, but I do believe that matters. And this moment was such a cool thing. And talking to the guys afterward was such a cool thing. And what my favorite part of this, and I used it as my lead of my story on channel3000.com, was when I asked Josh Jacobs and Zach Tom why they did it, they both looked at me like, well, that's a stupid question. Why wouldn't I do it? Right? Jacobs said that we're all in this together, like the line from High School Musical.
Oh, stop it.
I know. He did. He said it. That's what he said. Sean Ryan said, one of us runs, we all run. And Zach Tom said the same thing. Like, we didn't want him to be out there running alone. And so, mm-hmm. Brian, you're the one who played in the league for over a decade. I'm the one who's soft as Charmin. Tell me if I'm wrong to think that this was an important moment and a really cool moment for a bunch of guys showing how much they care about each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good sign of solidarity between the group. And regardless if you think that whether Sheed was in the wrong or not, right? I mean, like, that's, again, that's regardless of that, right? Like, and probably mm-hmm. was stupid to bury your own guy after the whistle. Like, again, like, just
no doubt.
What's the point of that? Like, come on. Like, it's just, again, I probably would have. I mean, I know that he's legitimately in a position battle, right? Like, he's
correct.
Literally in a job fight. So, like, for him and his mentality, like, every little thing is, like, matters to him. So, like, I'm not giving him, like, a pass of doing, like, you know, something that you shouldn't do, but, like, he's in a very, like, obviously high, like, intensity, he's in a different state than a lot mm-hmm. of guys that just got paid a lot of money. Like, it's in a, you know, he's in a different, you know, situation. But regardless of that, I think it's a good sign of, like, solidarity that guys have his back. And, like, regardless of people saw what happened or what took place, right, if Jacob saw it, obviously if Sean Ryan and Tom and those guys were on the field with him, they probably did not see what took place anyway. They may, at the end of the day, thought could have been in the wrong, right? Like, maybe, like,
sure.
That didn't matter at the time.
Josh Jacobs, Brian, Josh Jacobs flat out said he was wrong. He shouldn't have done that. Like,
yeah.
And that's the guy who corralled them to all run together. He said very clearly that what she did was wrong.
Yeah. So, like, that's the perfect example of, like, they understood that, like, it was wrong, but they still supported him mm-hmm. from a, you know, and it's a point of, like, kind of what, like, you know, Zach Tom said, like, didn't want him to run alone. Because, like, that is kind of like a thing where you're just making a guy run around the field alone.
The shame line. Like, you nailed it with the shame line. It's the run of shame.
Yeah. It's like a lap of shame. So, like, you're like the guys being there and running with him is a little more, you know, supportive and trying to, you know, have his back because I mean, again, you may say I'm looking way too far into this, but, like, at the end of the day, right, when this thing actually kicks off for real, right, and they get going against Detroit, that's all they're going to have is each other out there when they start going, right? They can only rely on each other. They have to trust mm-hmm. each other. They have to count on each other. They have to want to play for one another, right? And the only way to do that is to build camaraderie, trust, friendship, things like that. Like I could only say it, like the groups that I played with, the guys up front, like the backs, like those were like guys that I thought like that I cared for a lot, right? Like that I would do a lot for. Like we were friends outside the building, in the building. Mm-hmm. So there, like there was no doubt when like go out there, play hurt, play through a lot of things on the field, do things on the field that I was asked to do that weren't easy. But like, hey, if a guy next to me, like if it was TJ or Josh or whoever they needed, like maybe they were going through something and it made my job a little bit tougher. It doesn't matter. Like he needs a little help. And they would do the same for me, no matter what, right? Like you just do things for guys that you care for. So like that shows kind of that type of bond building with this offense, right? And that to me, that's good. That's really good. And you like to see it. Like to me, like that's a good sign. You want that type of chemistry building, especially with your offensive line and running back. Like you want that because mm-hmm. that's going to be an important six, you know, sit well, and Kraft was there too. So seven guys, right? Like Kraft's going to be blocking a lot. Jacobs is going to be running a lot and the line's going to be run blocking for him a lot. So those seven are going to be working quite a bit. So it's good that those guys all have each other's back because that's all that's going to be out there when this thing gets going for real against Detroit.
Yeah. I thought it was great. And I think, as Zach Tom said, I think it meant a lot to Rashid. And I think he's right. Like I think for a guy who is in the heat of a competition and then gets screamed at by the head coach and sworn at by the head coach, for those guys to be there to run with him, I think that's what it's all about. Yes, it's about winning. It's about all that stuff. But winning is part of doing stuff with people that you care about. And they showed something that I thought was really important yesterday. All right. Speaking of important, the coordinators are talking today. I am going to turn the reins over to Jesse and Blue and Homer. And I don't want to be late because Bisaccia is going to get after me if I'm late. So I'm going to head downstairs.
Turn those phones off too when you're in there.
Yeah. Hopefully there's no major emergencies that break across our iPhones during our sessions with Bisaccia, Steno, and Jeff Hafley. Before I go, though, I want to remind you about Lakeland Supply. They are a great new partner of ours. Vince and his team are awesome. It was great to spend a little bit of time with them at the ESPN Milwaukee Open, and we're really happy to have them as part of Wilde and Tausch because they've got core values like we do, and they're an important piece to any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. We'll see what the Packers coordinators have to say. I will return when they're done. More Wilde and Tausch with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day, and I suppose Jesse Nelson subbing for me temporarily. It's Wilde and Tausch.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Chicago Cubs.
Breaking ball, hit high, hit deep, left center, bye-bye baseball!
Today on 100.5 ESPN.
You have got to be kidding me!
Wilde and Tausch back with you, but it's Jesse and Bulaga. And it's going to be that way for a couple of segments here. Jason Wilde at Lambeau Field attending the press conferences for the Packers' assistant coaches. Rich Bisaccia is up first with the special teams. Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator, is up second. Jeff Hafley rounds it out, and then Jason will return a little bit later in the 10 o'clock hour here of Wilde and Tausch. Blue, what are you most interested in hearing from any of these assistant coaches today?
I mean, I think offensively, just looking forward to seeing what Steno has to say about, obviously, the progression of the offense compared to kind of what we saw late last year. And kind of, I know it's early days right now in camp, and it's hard to get a real vibe on how this offense is forming and shaping up and what's going to be the staple of this offense. But just kind of like what, you know, how it's starting to form and shape, right? Like what do we think tendency wise is going to be strengths of this offense? Or, I mean, are we going to be very balanced? Are we going to be more run dominant again? Right. Or are things going to change as what defenses tend to give us, or are we just going to be more hard-nosed and back? We're going to run the football no matter what. Like, I mean, what is going to be the identity of this team going forward? And I know we got Jordan Love, and I think Jordan Love's going to have a big year, but are we going to force teams into loading the box and making them show their hand to stop the run before we let Jordan Love just start ripping teams apart? Or is it going to be kind of the opposite? Are we going to let Jordan Love air it out to spread defenses apart and then just rip them apart up the middle with Jacobs? So, like, I'm very interested to see what Steno has to say. And then obviously the competitions that are within camp with the receivers and obviously the offensive line, even though it's very interesting left tackle competition when Jordan Morgan's moving around the offensive line in positions. Defensively, I don't know how much of a cornerback battle is happening, right? Like, I don't know. I get it's obviously like Hobbs and Nixon, and those are the main guys, so to speak. But, like, you know, there's a lot of talented guys back there. And if you're playing, you know, nickel defense, like, what's the rotation? Like, who are the starting safeties, right? Who's the nickel? There's a lot of guys that can play and play at a high level back there. And what's going to be kind of your starting group back there? Like, I'm very interested in that. And who are going to be the guys that you rely on, you know, to go out there to start games and must have situations and things like that, because there's a lot of talented guys that I think that played a lot last year too. So that's if everyone's healthy, obviously, too. That's obviously the outlier. So I'm interested in that. And the other thing that probably you can't ask yet because nothing's happened.
I say we're 1 week in and two padded practices in. So yeah. I don't know how many of these answers you're going to get.
The goal obviously always is to rush four, right? Like, that's the goal, to rush four, get home with four. We saw last year we struggled with that. This is a new year, but say we start to struggle with that again and we're forced to bring pressure. Like, I wonder if Halfley's thinking more because of the emergence of Cooper and things like that. Is he thinking more linebacker pressure? Is he thinking more McKinney? Because McKinney's such a good blitzer from the secondary and how good he is. Or are we going to protect the secondary and leave him back there deep so that we're allowing him to do what he does best and just patrol a third of the field and do what he does? Because it's very interesting when you have a guy like Cooper that's a very talented pass rusher as well. If you're going to bring pressure, that would be the guy to do it, to make it 5-on-5, to add on another guy. If you're only bringing 5, you bring 6, then it's a different story. But just the variety of pressures, if you can't get home with 4, how will that look? But obviously this is early, because we may be great at just rushing 4 and getting home with 4. So that's why that's an early – that's a way too early thought at this point.
Well,
in time.
It's early, but – it actually segues well into what we're going to talk about next. Over at ESPN.com, 5 proposed win-win trades in the NFL. I don't know if this is inspired by the MLB trade deadline is tomorrow, or if this is just, you know, heading into camp, but 5 proposed win-win trades, and the Packers are involved in 2 of the proposed trade. So we're going to talk about that coming up. I want to hear your thoughts. It's all hypothetical, of course, but it does connect exactly to what you were just asking about that pass rush and some other things. So we're going to talk about that coming up in 2 minutes. Jesse and Bulaga for the time being. Jason at the assistant coach availability in Green Bay. Homer scheduled to appear in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll play trivia. A lot of fun stuff still in store. So don't go anywhere. 2 minutes away from the 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch straight ahead.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.